Welcome to the podcast series, Planning for Autism in Communities and Schools, with Dr. Tina Fletcher, Professor of Occupational Therapy at Texas Woman's University. Along with many neurotypical and neurodiverse colleagues, Dr. Fletcher has worked with community agencies and schools to tear down barriers and build up supports for autistic community members. And now, Dr. Tina Fletcher.
Hi, everybody. Today we're going to be talking about fidgets and stimming and what those two things are and how they're used by people with autism. But before we get started on that, I'm going to give you a little school teacher lesson and put this knowledge in your back pocket because it'll come in handy in a variety of ways. In this podcast, I'm going to be giving you the name of some researchers and the dates that they did some things, and you're saying to yourself, well, geez, I'm just listening to this, so what can I do with this information? If you are really interested in pursuing these articles that people have written about fidgets and stimming and autism, let me give you a strategy. The first one is on your computer, in the search bar, type in Google Scholar. And then you're going to get a new screen, and it'll say, Google Scholar, how can I help you? And in that bar, you type the author's name and the year and the word autism or fidgets or stimming, and the article will come up. So Google Scholar is like an amazing secret weapon that you can use to help you find out all kinds of things. Now, let's get started. When you think about autism trends, one of the first things that might pop into your mind are those fidget spinners that somehow manage to find their way into everybody's pockets. People seem to need a fidget spinner, and trying to buy them started to feel like the Beanie Baby hype of the 1990s. While the spinner fad probably drove many teachers nuts, the good news is that it contributed to helping some people see certain aspects of autism as pretty typical. Lots of people have repetitive behaviors like twirling hair, biting fingernails, and popping knuckles. And some habits involve an object, like running a charm back and forth across its chain, or twirling a pencil, or cracking sunflower seeds. So let's take a look at two things. The first one is the need to self-stimulate or seek sensory input to stay focused, calm, and maybe make easier transitions from one activity to another. That's often referred to as stimming. And the need to use an object to do so, as in the case of people who furtively rub a charm or a trinket when stressed. In this case, they are using what many now refer to as a fidget. First of all, we need to tackle some background discussions surrounding the topic of stimming. For a long time, people with autism engaged in all kinds of physical behaviors that have been referred to as stimming. There are actually research articles that describe the science of stimming by, get ready, using the following categories and descriptions. So here they are. You can have subtle behaviors, the little stims you might not even notice. You can have stims of varying intensity and continuity. You can have stims with spatial variance, which is certain types of stimming being associated with certain places. Stimming that's dependent on social cues or mixing behaviors, such as moving from spinning to arm flapping. Or object influence, and that's the fidget part we're going to go to next. You can have stimming that's related to person anxiety. In that case, the stimming increases in response to someone else's anxiety about it. And the last type is called context stimming, as in maybe you have a certain kind of stimming you engage in during certain TV shows or games. Afraid you won't remember all that? You can safely summarize it by saying a person's stimming might or might not be dependent on the place and activities, and it is influenced by what's going on around them, including the presence of others. The research that we just talked about mostly happened in the year 2013, and at about that time, an influential trend against stimming became very popular, and those who advocated for an autism cure hauled out the old theory of behaviorism and put it into the picture. Operating under the theory that a behavior, in this case stimming, can be changed without it requiring conscious thought, people with autism could be made to appear less autistic and more socially acceptable. More commonly, this approach has been known as applied behavioral analysis, or ABA. Fans of ABA say it can nearly cure or remove autistic behaviors from primarily very young people, but detractors say that by suppressing a person's natural tendencies, they have fewer opportunities for self-expression and communication. Some even liken it to torture or abuse. As a result of the stimming and ABA controversies, there's been a reemergence of the live and let live school of thought that holds that we should change our views of stimming when we see it in others and reframe what it might mean, that having a way to be self-expressive and communicate rather than having a bad or disruptive set of habits. In other words, our negative reaction to someone stimming is our problem and not theirs. Since fidgets often accompany stimming, you might have already guessed that people are becoming more relaxed about the use of fidgets to calm anxiety or increase staying power in situations that aren't always pleasant. Think of a nice long math class, for example. And in occupational therapy lingo, they increase a person's ability to self-regulate. In fact, some people advocate for renaming fidgets and calling them focus tools. And on hearing this new moniker, some researchers again turned to science to determine the real value of fidgets or focus tools. And here's what they found. This is when you need to get out your pencil and write these names down and put them in Google Scholar if you want to learn more. A team of researchers headed up by Ledford, L-E-D-F-O-R-D, in 2020, investigated whether or not allowing autistic students to use small fidgets during group activities with the intention of encouraging attendance and engagement actually proved to be unhelpful. And as some experienced teachers might have predicted, they created a distraction for the students and their classmates. This study echoed a 2017 report by a team led by Schechter, S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R, who acknowledged the popularity of fidgets but found little evidence to support their use and even cautioned that some fidgets can be a choking hazard. While this may seem discouraging, program descriptions such as work by occupational therapist Biel, B-I-E-L, also in 2017, reported teacher satisfaction with some fidgets. Internet blogs continue to report their effective use and note that neurotypical people are emulating the habits of people with autism when they stim or use fidgets. Interestingly, some sites even mention the old classroom chewing gum controversy as a form of fidget use. Let's think about one thing on internet blogs. If that's what you choose to use to get your ideas from, remember, a lot of people report their successes on the internet, but they may not report their failures. So you won't exactly get a balanced look at fidgets if you're only going with internet blogs. Whatever you do, it's safe to say that given the wide range of opinions about stimming and more specifically using fidgets, conflicting information is not going away anytime soon. If you find yourself in a lively conversation about fidgets, remember these things. Fidgets can include sensory mats, chew toys, gushy things like slime, rainmaker toys, spinners, and vibrating cushions, amongst other things. And some of them can be choking hazards, create a mess, transmit germs from one user to another, and may not be easy to store. But at the same time, some are clever, addicting, and they have a high cool index. So make an informed decision when you think about using fidgets and factor in considerations of place, people, and activities when you do. Keeping people safe and happy is the name of the game, and fidgets might contribute to that or not.
You've been listening to Dr. Tina Fletcher. Thank you to the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board who made this podcast series possible. And special thanks for many community partners with and without autism who steadily work to tear down barriers and build up supports for autistic community members. We'll see you next time.